think more than anything that explains that this is the sort of launch point from tomorrow's meeting of how we tackle some of these questions. Just a quick note at the break, which is coming after Henry. Green T-shirts, Software Freedom Day. They're free, mostly small sizes. So please feel free to give them to a young person. Also, GPL version 2 preamble posters are free. So if you care about historical stuff, there you go. Anyway. Okay, so now I'd like to introduce someone who I've been thinking about him. He's an instigator. He's a person we spoke about earlier who was behind the Affero license, helped us think about network services for the first time. He was the person who helped us launch the Defective by Design campaign and helped us think about how to do that and how to get going. And here he is today to talk about some of the stuff he's instigating with some of the Hollywood writers who were recently on strike. Henry Poole, board member of FSF.
Has anybody seen Network, the movie? Do you remember that? I think he's an anchor or something, and he just gets really pissed off about the screwed up nature of television networks. Before I jump into this project I'm doing with a bunch of writers, I wanted to talk a little bit about me and my own goals and why I'm doing this and why I'm doing some of the things that I'm doing and what I've learned about how I've been able to be effective at some things. So I'm going to do that first. There we go. And I have a hard time sometimes just talking about me and my own stuff, but I'm gonna give it a shot. I'm very interested, and I have been in some time, in innovating new business models that are kind of ethical, that have an ethical basis to them. And I feel like a lot of people's business models don't, and there are a lot of laws around that where you can't really write in certain social agendas or into the statutes of a corporation. There are a lot of problems with the way businesses operate that are, some of them are just legal problems. But I'm very interested in doing that, and I've been doing that for some time, and I'm continuing that. In this particular project that I'm doing with the Hollywood crowd, we're thinking about that. We're thinking about the context of how we can create a business model that we can create value in the field of media without breaking these ethical issues around free software and also other ethical issues. Another thing I'm working on, just personally, and I have been for some time, and that is trying to socialize and get the nonprofit community, NGO community, and some of the political communities to understand the issues of freedom and free software. And I led Dennis Kucinich's technology in his first run for president. And I've been working with organizations like Amnesty and Witness in implementing full free software systems and trying to not only get them to use the software, but also to understand the alignment between their values as an organization and the values that we have around freedom. And as I'm working with them, sometimes they're very slow to come to a consciousness and an understanding about this stuff. But I'm not beating them over the head trying to get them to understand it all at once. But I am actually working at trying to get those organizations kind of aligned with people that are in this room and outside of this room that have the same kind of basic understanding of freedom and how important this stuff is. Another thing I'm working on is the establishing a positive perception of free software in the professional media. There's a lot of buzz going on around user-generated content, and there are a lot of people in this community and in the creative commons community, free culture movement, and there's a is actually a there's a more negative image that I've run across from us towards them than I've seen from them towards us, which is quite interesting, because a lot of people that, you know, when I started, when I decided to go down and meet with some of the writers, I was told they'll never listen. They want DRM, they want control, they want, you know, they want all these things. And I found that not to be the case. Actually, and as I've been talking about this to the people, you know, in my world, the hesitation has been high, and the lack of trust has been unbelievable. It's off the scale. The lack of trust for these people in big media. I mean, you look at their works, a lot of the works, and you can understand why you would. How could you ever think that they were doing anything ethical? Because there's so much crap coming, right? But in reality, a lot of the writers, they don't want that crap. I mean, they just don't really want it, and they're in a system. They're stuck in a system, not to take them off the hook. And I don't believe in taking people off the hook. But there is an opportunity there. I felt like if we can just get a bunch of those of us that can really understand the principles and the ethics and get and socialize with people that are creating the popular culture, the professional media makers, if we can get some of the stories that we have into mainstream, it might be a useful thing. So I'm working on that. And also, I've been working on, you know, I just call it liberating core technology components. And in particular, there are issues around mobile devices and media. I mean, there's this huge movement towards, you know, on-demand, full, you know, full connectivity. People are using all these new, there are 2 billion telephones sold last year. We can't do this with free software right now. I mean, we have real serious problems. I mean, we don't even have a free laptop yet. And, you know, it's like, you know, and these, I mean, the patents are all these issues, and they're very, very difficult. And one of the questions, how do you even start in that minefield, right? And it, you know, really is about, and I don't even know all the problems. I've been asking Evan Mogul and a lot of people, where are all the barriers in mobile devices and new media? And there's just so many of them, you know, where do you start? But I do think that we've done a great job. The GNU project and all the folks that are part of this movement have been knocking these things out for years. We've been kind of creating free software. And one of the things that I'm really interested in doing, you know, and this is both in the nonprofit work that I do and also in this media venture that I'm working on, is really finding those core technology pieces and actually replacing the ones that are bad with ones that are free, and that really respect people's rights and give people more freedom. I've come up with a few strategies that I've been using over the last few years. One is, I imagine that the others just don't understand, and I have empathy for their fears. Now, I'm not trying to be, I'm not trying to put people down when I say that. It's just that, you know, when I go into a conversation, I don't go in listening for them to be bad human beings. I try to be open to the fact that they may just not understand the language. You know, they may not understand what is important. So I go in with an orientation towards kind of a, you know, listening for that. Maybe they just need to learn, and maybe it'll take some time for them to learn. Also, I actually, you know, I read Saul Alinsky's book several years ago, and I saw it quoted up here earlier. I like to fight. You know, I'm a man, you know, I have a punching bag that I got a few years ago, and I like to beat the punching bag too. And it's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes you have to do that, and this organization is really good at that, right? And it's really important, you know, it's like, I mean, there's, you know, as was said earlier, there's that reference point, and you have to stand strong, and you have to fight. And there's nothing wrong with it. And Richard fought, you know, he punched me a couple of times when I met him. I mean, not with his fist, but he said, open source, and he came at me. And this is I said open source. And what I learned, though, was that actually, his goals were actually completely aligned with mine. I just didn't speak the right language when I first started, when I first met him. And I really took the time to learn and understand. And I'm helping to do that with others, that, you know, and have a little bit of empathy for them because I was there myself. But I do attack, and the defective by design stuff has been, you know, really laser focused attacks. It's freezing and it's, you know, it's personalizing things, and it's been very effective. And I'm going to continue to do that just as a person. I also participate in ventures that have a commitment to liberating code. I don't personally involve myself with anything that doesn't take that commitment seriously and do it. Also, you know, I build new relationships between ethical coders and powerful people who don't yet understand. You know, I'm interested actually in doing that, in getting people together and having friendships emerge, because out of that I think trust comes up and people can get to can realize that there's a lot we can do if we just work together and if we start to understand one another. But that's enough about me. There's a challenge that I faced, which is most humans, are at least the ones that I've run across, are ruled by fear. And you can punch a little button and they act a certain way. old models and beliefs are hard to break. You know, that's kind of that's so obvious. Most humans want to be right. I mean, who doesn't want to be right? And once you say, hey, you're wrong, then they start proving and justifying that they are actually right. And even if they don't, really, they dig in, really. So sometimes you got to be careful, because if you want to flip somebody over one way or another, that's difficult sometimes. How do you get somebody to learn and think if you just tell them right up front that they're bad? Sometimes you have to do it. And I'm impatient. That's the main reason why I do it. When I do it, is I just get impatient. I think you're an idiot, and I just say you're wrong, and that's it. There's no relationship there. There's a big opportunity in Hollywood, and this is the little background. The dinosaur studios are dying, and I didn't do a spell check here, so I don't know if I've got spelling errors. Dinosaur studios are dying. The studios are dying. You know, it's not going to be fast, and they're going to fight, and they're doing all the things that they're doing, but they're actually dying. Popular culture has given writers and directors and actors an unprecedented power. And, you know, whether popular culture has given it or whether the studios have taken it or, you know, whatever, but the fact is that, you know, these people have a tremendous amount of power today. You know, the actors like Mudge, who I met a few weeks ago, I don't know his real name, Richard something or other. He's in Law and Order. He's a very progressive leftist. It's really interesting. He has a lot of power, and he doesn't really know how to use it yet. I mean, he's trying, and he's playing. But there's a lot of power that these folks have. The writers, directors, and actors are open to innovation. The folks that I've met with are all very open, especially the writers. They don't own their copyright, and they haven't for 20-some years. So they're actually really open. This is a very unique moment right now in history, because all of the chairs are, you know, all the things are moving around, and there's an opportunity here that I think may not be present after people lock down their business models and all the dust settles and people figure out how they're going to use control again. So we have an opportunity now to do something. I ended up, I've got another, looks like another, what, 10 minutes? Is that right? 12. I ended up the writers went on strike November the 5th, and they were pissed at the studios, just like we were pissed at the studios when we were in the defective by design war room 2 years ago. I mean, we had the same enemy. I had the same enemy. They had an enemy. And I ran across one of the writers at a friend's house in Los Angeles on November the 18th. And he invited me to meet with 15 of his colleagues. Now, this guy I met with was a negotiating member of the board of the Writers Guild. And a lot of the writers, and most of them were A-list writers. He was a C-list writer, I think is what he called himself. He wrote Air Bud. But he was on the negotiating committee. He's the second youngest member of the board of the guild, and he's open to this. And when I talked to him, I said, you know, I've been building free software systems for Peter Gabriel's Witness Project. It's a human rights, it's basically YouTube for human rights. And we're doing all this work with, you know, with new technologies. And he said, well, you got to meet with all these striking members of the guild because we want to build our own studio. We want to just leave these guys. We want to do our own thing. So I went and met with 15 folks. The writer of Schindler's List opened up his house one night, and I went down to L.A. and met with him. And I had a lot of conversations there, and I talked about an opportunity to align a bunch of free software people in this community with a bunch who are writers, with them, who are a bunch of writers. And they thought that was a fabulous idea. And Aaron, the guy that invited me there, and Brad, another associate of ours, came back and formed this corporation on December the 12th. And a lot of those folks, those writers, this is some of their works. They're very powerful crowd. I'm particularly fond of Aaron Brockovich. I haven't actually seen most of these, but some of the movies, you know. Anyway, they're a very powerful crowd. And no one really, in any of the new media, the new enterprises in Hollywood, no one has this number of A-list writers involved. Most of them have one or two people. We've got over 15. The awards that they've seen, I mean, there's a pretty powerful group. So there's television folks, and there's also film. We ended up, without even trying, we got a bunch of press. And we, after we got press, we thought, okay, well, we need a business model. So we started working on that. And we've been working on that. We've come a long ways in that. Right now, we're raising some financing. We got some seed capital from the writers and from, you know, from ourselves. But right now, we're actually raising capital. We're planning the shows that are going to be on this network or in this new kind of from this new studio. We're doing technology planning and also distribution planning, and we're also recruiting our management team. So that's actually what's happening right now. We're getting a lot of interest from a lot of places. And I'm going to ask for help, and because we need it. What we're interested in doing is building a new direct distribution system. We want to use free software. We want to understand over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years where the big stumbling blocks are in the traditional distribution systems, and we want to try to raise enough capital to start fixing some of the big chunks of the barriers. And the business is not a technology business, so the investors are not looking for proprietary code. We've come up with a business model that's based on something else. The business model, you know, the business model for this venture is embracing and producing and distributing and participating in free software, and not in a proprietary way like Google. We're not interested in using the ASP loophole. It's not what we're all about. We're interested in actually creating a fundamental new business model where it's not really relying on coveting code. And a few things that we could use help with. We need to know all the proprietary roadblocks, and who knows what they all are, but we need to try to create an inventory of those. We also need help finding software projects that align with our needs. We have needs for engagement tools, you know, wikis and, you know, tools for co-creative activities so the people that are writing and people that are doing production work can work together. We also have needs for distribution system tools, the Democracy Player, now Miro or Miro guys, things like that. There are also other content distribution systems that we're interested in looking at. We also need help with, community building, you know, blog type systems and identity. We're very interested in identity systems where all the data is not stuck in the cloud, where you actually have more power over it long term. So all of those aspects, and you know, we'll be publishing more about what exactly we need, but we're interested in developers or maintainers of those projects that can share their roadmaps and are interested in getting funding to help with their works over the next couple of years. We need to find a CTO, somebody that's really good at operations, at billing operations, and also knows the free software movement and can really maintain relationships with all the members of the community and knows how to you know, knows how to get around. We also need, we need somebody to help as a, volunteer initially to just help coordinate relationships, because we've got people coming in and saying, hey, well, what about this project? What about that one? So we need somebody to help kind of put together and maintain those relationships. And also, we have a large number of people that have come up and are interested in investing, but we're interested in the right private equity investors that really get a new model or interested in it. So those are the things that we're looking for right now. And I'm just going to leave it at that and take the next 5 minutes or so and answer any questions.
Hi, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and we're building a organization there to help promote free software in both education and government. And one of the things we'd like to do is work with an accountant that either can use free software or maybe can use a set of templates in OpenOffice to manage the finances. And I wonder if you've had any experience working with any accountants, or I can make this a general question. Has anybody had any experience working with any accountants that can work with free software, whether it's GNU Cash or OpenOffice, or that we can interface with?
So I don't have an answer to that. We like I said, we just started working on our business plan, so we don't need accountants yet. But I don't know of there are probably people in the room here that could answer that. And if you're interested in answering that or providing some folks as ideas, that would be great.
Is it just that you're going to be using free software for this project, or is it that you can be licensing your works under like free culture licenses, or that you produce eventually?
So I guess the question is it just free software, or are we also looking at free new licenses like Creative Commons?
Yeah.
We're interested in both. But a lot of the writers right now they've distribution contracts, and we have. There's a dying business model. What we're doing is we're creating a business model that will hopefully we'll be able to prove some, figure out some way to monetize the Creative Commons or the free licenses, free culture licenses. I can just say this from the folks that I met with down in Los Angeles. I told them some stories about what Robert Greenwald has done in terms of pre-financing his movies by having a direct relationship with his audience and releasing everything under Creative Commons. Those 15 writers that I was with, none of them had ever heard of Creative Commons. Okay, and the first time they heard of it was when I described to them how people were using it and raising money to do works that were socially relevant and important to the creator. And they were really interested in this. And there's an appetite for experimentation around these licenses, and one of our objective is really to experiment over the first year and to really determine how can we create models where these things work. In particular, one of the guys said, and he said, I'm on the board of an independent film organization, and he said, and we're having a hard time just getting traction for these independent films. They're really great films. And then he described to me how they were doing distribution. He said, we're distributing through Unboxed, right? And, and then I said, well, look, if you're using those old tactics inside this new, culture, they won't work. You actually have to rethink everything that you're doing. And so there was a big appetite for that. We don't have a hard commitment to do to release all things under Creative Commons, but we are interested and we will be experimenting in it.
Okay. Now, so are these people that are just like working with these like writers and producers, are they like, have they like quit, they haven't quit their like mainstream job, they're just trying to do this as a side project, and then if it gains traction they might do it full time on your network, or is it that they're doing it full time already?
Well, the 15 or so writer investors are, some of these folks are making $2 million for a script, for a movie. Yeah. And they're really looking at this as a playground, and they're looking to learn and to really try to create another place for them to distribute some of their own pet projects, but also a place, you know, maybe in a 2 or 3 years where they can go and use for, you know, distribution of their own works. So it's really, for a lot of them, it's a place to learn. And it was presented that way. I mean, this is they're going to be putting together works, and they're interested in really having a return on investment on those works on the internet. But a lot of them have, you know, they're running Law and Order, or they're running, you know, big series and films.
Thanks.
Okay. Last question.
Oh, it was just a statement. I ran the National Writers Union Boston Local for 6 years in the 90s. So I don't know if you all are kind of familiar with the deal for freelance writers particularly, but also writers, staff writers. The industry has changed a lot in the last 20 years, and now for all but the apex of the writing pyramid, these folks, right, what's demanded of us is galactic rights contracts. They're actually called that, where we have to give away our rights for anything we write, now and forever, in all technologies, including those which may yet be invented, like telepathy or whatever. And it's just gone. And if you don't play ball, you don't get any money. And yeah, sure, we can use different licenses online. I'm just starting a news portal in Boston where we're going to offer creators a bunch of licenses, including new FDL, right? But it's not like there's a lot of money flying around, you know, for this kind of work, as important as it is. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's very, very, very hard for us, which is part of the reason why people are iffy about, you know, alternatives to copyright. There needs to be a lot more education and perhaps a new license that you know, satisfies the needs of creators like writers, photographers, and videographers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and I mean, I know it wasn't a question, but it actually brings up something, which is one of the very important part of Creative Commons, of one of Creative Commons licenses, is attribution. And one of the things that we're doing with this new virtual artists is we're going to use attribution in a big way in the works. So, you know, and the Creative Commons license a couple of years ago, you know, they added the, I guess it's a URI, Uniform Resource, for the attribution. And so what we hope to be able to do is to actually, if media gets distributed, is to be able to make sure that there's a connection maintained between the creators of that piece of media and the audience, so that there can be some relationship that's generated, which is really the basis of a lot of the, I mean, if you can have a relationship, if you can develop a fan base like, you know, Grateful Dead did, or like, you know, or like Robert Greenwald is doing, you know, you can do something with it. I mean, there's a movie up on Google Video that within a month, I think it was called Zeitgeist, if anybody's seen it, had 5 million views in 30 days or something like that. And with some of the experimentation that my company did last year, we were able to get, you know, 5% of the people that were watching the media that we were producing signed up to get access to the next episode. And if those people that created Zeitgeist and put it up on Google Video with 5 million views, if they got 5% of those people to say, hey, I'm interested in this, then they'd have a community of 250,000 people that they could go to and say, we want to do another piece of work. Will you help us finance it? You know, like the Firefox, you know, we'll give you credits. And that's really what Greenwald was doing. He gave people, for $50, he put your name as a producer in the back of the movie. He did an anti-war movie. So if you gave him $50, he'd put your name in the back of the movie as a producer. And I think he raised $200,000 in about 2 weeks and produced that movie. So anyway, there are ways that I think we're going to experiment, and to try to make that work. And also just the writer that was the founder, who's the second youngest member of the board, he's one of those folks he's with all the young crowd, and they're not making any money, and they get screwed. I mean, they really are, they get rolled. The big guys and girls, that, you know, women that are doing the big features, they, you know, they're at least getting some, they're getting something. But most of the people are just, they're written off and just used. They're completely, you know, stepped on. And, you know, one of the things that we're doing on that side is we're actually, you know, trying to push towards equity and some participation in some of these projects for the writers, and, you know, relationships with the audience in ways that, you know, that they wouldn't see it through a traditional media deal. Anyway, that's it. I if you have any other questions, or if you have any, if you know of anybody, or if you that might be interested or aligned with what we're doing, please give me, you know, pop me an email. My email address is pool@fsf.org, or come and talk to me anytime today. Anyway, thanks.
All right, we're just going to take a quick break for about 15 minutes and then come back.